Welcome to day 132 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're in the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. We're looking at the duties required in the Eighth Commandment. Yesterday, we started looking at Westminster Larger Catechism, question 141, and we found out that the duties required in the Eighth Commandment are truth, faithfulness, and justice in contracts and commerce between man and man, rendering to everyone his due, restitution of goods unlawfully detained from the right owners thereof, giving and lending freely according to our abilities and the necessities of others. And today we're ready to begin the second part of that answer with moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods. Sort of a matter of priority. 1 Timothy 6, 6-9, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So we are to have a moderation of our judgments, wills, and affections concerning worldly goods. We're to be content, and we're to avoid temptation to acquire more. But the Eighth Commandment also commands us to have a provident care and study to get, keep, use, and dispose those things which are necessary and convenient for the sustentation of our nature and suitable to our condition. The proof text for the word get is 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And it also includes keeping, using, and disposing those things which are necessary and convenient for the sustentation of our nature and suitable to our condition. And the proof texts for that is Proverbs 27, and it says from verse 23 to the end, it's not all printed in our edition of the Catechism, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. Now, a person who has flocks and herds has more than food and raiment. He is a capitalist. He has capital. So we're commanded to be diligent and to care for our capital. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12 and 13, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. 1 Timothy 6:17 and 18, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, to use their wealth as a vehicle of service. Isaiah 31:8, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Finally, Matthew 8:11, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. That's something of an enigmatic verse, at least the part that's quoted here in our version of the Catechism. Also required in the Eighth Commandment is a lawful calling. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Although that passage also tells us that if we're a slave and we have an opportunity to become free, we should take that opportunity. Genesis 2:15, the original calling, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And then Genesis 3:19, after the fall, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return unto the ground, etc. Then we have for further study a few articles on the concept of the calling and vocation, a lawful calling. You may not agree with all of these ideas or the distinction between a calling and an occupation, but there is good for thought there. Not only are we to have a lawful calling, but we are to be diligent in it. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, another purpose of wealth, to give to him that needeth. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And here the implication is that we should want to be rich, and that's why we're told, and that's the reward of being diligent, and the incentive to be diligent. We're also to be frugal, according to the 8th commandment. John 6:12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Proverbs 21:20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Here's an interesting item, according to the catechism. One of the duties of the 8th commandment is to avoid unnecessary lawsuits. The passage is 1 Corinthians 6 from verse 1 to 9. The entire passage is not printed out in our edition of the catechism, so you should take a time to look at it. And it basically says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. That's a very interesting concept, and we have a couple of articles there that will expand on that. That could have important social implications, implications for government, worth your study. Forbidden in the 8th commandment, suretyship, becoming a surety, or other like engagements. Proverbs 6 from verse 1 to 6, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, etc. Proverbs 11:15, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. And an endeavor by all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. All the proof texts here are to prove that we have a duty under the 8th commandment to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others, and to do so as well as our own. I mean, but the emphasis here is on the others. There isn't a lot, actually, or maybe there isn't as much as there should be, or as much as I think there should be, about the duty to develop the wealth and outward estate of ourselves. So that's why I've added some extra articles on that theme at the end of this blog post. Leviticus 25:35, and if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Deuteronomy 22, verses 1 through 5, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Exodus 23:4-5, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Genesis 47:14, Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house, and Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And Matthew 22:39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that concludes our look at question 141 of the larger catechism, and that concludes our look at the duties required in the 8th commandment. Tomorrow we'll look at question 142 and the sins prohibited by the 8th commandment. We have a couple of extra resources that I also posted yesterday, which I think are helpful, because what we see in question 141 is that we have more than just a duty, not a negative duty, not to steal the wealth of others, but we have a positive duty to convey economic benefit to others. And in order to convey economic value to others, you have to possess it. And we're not to be attached to this economic wealth, but we're instructed to be diligent in procuring it so that we do have it and have the ability to serve others. So the question is, how much economic ability do we need to have in order to be of service to others? Well, the example of Joseph, he bought the entire nation of Egypt for the person that God had him serving. And so that seems like the sky is the limit. And if you look at the whole history of the Bible, the purpose of human beings, the goal, the end point, is the New Jerusalem, which is a huge city of inestimable wealth, where even the streets are paved with gold. So I think there's a duty here of not just economic value or economic wealth, which is used for the service of others, but also something about beauty that is a way we go back to the very first question of the catechism. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, that the wealth of the New Jerusalem is somehow a part of that commandment. So tomorrow we'll look at the actual sins forbidden in the Eighth Commandment, the negative side of what we have seen as the positive side of the Eighth Commandment.